Tonight on ASISU Speaks, Christoph Kassoon welcomes ASISU Senator Sandra Lozano to the KISU studios.
Welcome to another edition of ASISU Speaks. This is Christoph Kassoon. Today in the studio with me, I'm very happy to welcome back a fellow senator and dear friend of mine, Sandra Lozano. Hi, Sandra. How are you doing today?
Hi, Christoph.
So you are the senator representing the College of Technology.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in the early childhood education program. So how has that been going? How's life? How's school?
It's been great. I really, really love my teachers this semester and my program in general. It's just a lot of learning about everything. So,
mm-hmm. Maybe we can explain to the public what is early childhood education?
Early childhood education is from infants to five-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just us. Well, it's not just like a daycare. Daycare is usually what people refer to it, but it's childcare places that we work at, because that's like when we have the training, we have kind of more of the educational side of it,
mm-hmm.
where we focus more on the development and every kid's needs and try to meet them. And every toy that we have comes with a specific purpose and use of it, and just how we kind of focus more on the families and getting them ready for kindergarten and just whatever life would throw ahead of them.
Right.
Like if we see a family that might need, we involve the family a lot. Just look at the family in general. Like, what does this family need from the community? Oh, I feel like this family needs to kind of, or wants to go out and do stuff. Here's some things I can give you. Or if they're having a hard time finding a job or something, mm-hmm. like kind of giving support, like, hey, I'm, you know, giving that support that they need with their children. Make sure that their children are taken care of so that they can be comfortable trying to get whatever they need to get done.
Right. So you kind of focus on all aspects of it, not just the kid alone,
yeah.
but the surrounding family members, community.
Yeah. Being a teacher in early childhood education, it takes over your life.
Wow.
When I was working and I wasn't even the lead teacher, I would do so much research on each of my kids.
Yeah.
I'd be like, okay, every misbehavior that a kid has, it comes because they're having a problem that they can't communicate with you, especially when you're working with toddlers that don't know how to talk yet and communicate well. They have a lot of misbehavior, but because they're not being understood, their needs aren't being met. And that's something that I really love about early childhood education, is that as a teacher, I have the complete freedom to look at my kids and be, okay, I think you need more alone time,
mm-hmm.
so I am going to give you more alone time. Or I think that you're not getting enough social life,
right.
so I'm going to make activities so that you have to work in a group setting and you mm-hmm. have to work with other kids. And also just being a teacher that tries to understand them. I mean, you are working with these kids 8 hours a day.
Wow.
And sometimes they're screaming and crying all the time, and you're changing diapers, and it's chaos.
Mm-hmm.
But at the core of it, you have to remember that these kids look at you and see everything that you do. So
right.
we have to be cautious of all that and show that in every moment, they are being loved and they're being cared for, and we're trying to meet their needs.
I think that's, I think that's really interesting. It sounds like a lot of this is being very flexible.
It is.
And kind of operating out of like a toolbox mm-hmm. of like strategies and approaches to deal with different kids and really paying attention to individualized needs, which I think is very important, like in truly early child education, of course, but just education in general.
Yes.
You know, we have such a standardized way of mm-hmm. teaching and
yes.
running schools and everything in this country and in a lot of countries, and it really kind of take something away from the individual experience and need of the students.
Yeah, and something that I noticed with my children is, and our teacher talked about it, the environment really affects him. I had one kid that he couldn't sit still. We had a huge deal with him just getting like him to do activities, play, mm-hmm. or kind of like get the learning started, because he was a little bit behind of where he needed to be. And I brought in a beanbag chair
uh-huh.
with books. Oh my gosh, that kid completely changed.
Wow.
Just by putting a beanbag chair. He just needed a comfortable space so that he felt calm.
Yeah.
And he needed a place to calm down, because you get too excited. So then when he got too excited and he was just messing around too much, be like, let's go to the beanbag chair. He would calm down and then he was good to go. He wasn't fussy. He wasn't like crying a lot.
Wow.
He was great.
Such a simple thing can make such a huge difference.
Yeah, it's little things.
This is fascinating. It sounds like people in your profession almost kind of, they're kind of cross-trained. It sounds like the things you're seeing is something like a psychologist might be able to do, or a social worker, a teacher. So that's kind of fascinating how you bring all these different disciplines together to help children as best as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What age is the group of kids who are in your program that you teach and help? Does it vary a lot?
Yeah, it does. It depends on your program that you're going to work at. You can start from really young infants to 5-year-olds or even after-school programs for like kids that are in elementary school.
Right.
So it kind of just depends on where you're put. For me, I worked with toddlers, with 2-year-olds mm-hmm. or ones that were barely turning 2. And that's kind of the age group that I want to focus my career on, just because 2-year-olds are extremely hard since they don't know how to communicate yet and they don't know how to talk. But that's the year that I love the most. I think I've worked with 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, and I have siblings myself. And before I worked with my toddlers, I didn't want to work with them. I kept thinking like, no, this is impossible to work with toddlers.
Yeah.
They can never sit down. You can never do anything with them. Like, I don't want to work with them. But then I started the program, and then my teachers taught me strategies and taught me different toys, different just ways of talking to them, too, that helps. And my classroom completely changed.
Wow. So you just kind of had to get in the mindset.
So now I love toddlers. Now
wow.
I want to work with them.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
Such a good experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes, yes. And a lot of the kids, some of these kids also have some developmental problems as well.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to start early child education was because I myself have ADHD, and I didn't go to early child education programs or any child care places.
Can we define what ADHD is real quick?
So ADHD is attention deficit disorder, and it's also known as like ADD, but I've done a lot of research on it, and they're the same thing. You can't look at one person and say, like, oh, you're not hyperactive.
Right.
Because I was diagnosed as ADD, but the more I looked into it, my mind is hyperactive.
I see.
I cannot stay on one subject at all. Like, it's insane.
It's like an inherent multitasker.
I mean, forced to.
Yeah, I see.
Forced to multitask, but can't really multitask. It's a weird thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and I mean, I feel like if I had more teachers supporting me that knew about ADHD and were able to say, okay, Sandra has ADHD, she needs to work on her social skills.
Right.
She needs to work on her language. She needs to work on just a whole lot of aspects that I am trying to get better at myself right now.
Right.
Now that I've clearly see what my problem is, what I need to work on. And I know that ADHD comes with a lot more than just, like, not paying attention. Like, those, you know, jokes like, oh, squirrel, and then you look over.
Right, it's that's all stereotypes.
Yeah, all stereotypes. I feel like a big part of ADHD is just being misunderstood all the time. I mean, I always knew I was a very emotional person, but then I realized that ADHD, you have an imbalance of chemicals, and that also affects your emotions.
Right.
I'm, like, super emotional. You tell me one little thing, and I'll take it like you slapped me in the face. So I have to work on that myself, because it's not everyone hates me. It's more of calm down. It's not an attack.
Take it personally.
Yeah, not take it personally. Mm-hmm. And then another aspect of it is being socially awkward.
Right.
I've always known I was socially awkward, but I didn't know that ADHD affected that. I can't read people. Like, if someone's really upset with me, I'll be confused. Like, what did I do? Like, what did I say? What happened?
Interesting.
Or if I say something really weird, I don't know. So it's been interesting to kind of grow up and not someone telling me, hey, it's not you. It's
this condition
that you have.
Right.
And you're not the same as a neurotypical brain.
Right.
And the school systems and anything in the world is not set up for a person who has ADHD.
Completely agree.
It's set up for a person who has a neurotypical brain.
Uh-huh.
So school has been a struggle. Making friends has been a struggle. But luckily, I've been blessed every year with wonderful friends. I can't complain about that. But it has been harder. I'm living with my boyfriend right now, and that has been a huge struggle for both of us.
Right.
Because he didn't know what ADHD was, and I didn't know what it was, even though I was diagnosed.
Yeah.
But
it can really affect the relationship.
It really affected it.
Yeah.
The first year, I was done with him. I wanted to break up with him, because I was like, he misunderstands me all the time. And he used to judge me on, like, the way that I studied, the way that I ate, the way that I cooked, the way that I did anything.
Right.
He would be pointing it out, like, don't do that.
Yeah,
like,
he just didn't quite get it.
Didn't get it at all, and I hated him.
Yeah.
But then he's from the Philippines, so in his country, they don't really talk about mental disorder that much. It's not very a common thing that they talk about over there. Mm-hmm. And he had such a hard time acknowledging my ADHD was real.
Right, it was legitimate, it was important.
It was a real issue, that's why I was acting the way I was. I wasn't responding the way he thought I would respond. I was super emotional all the time. I was super... And another thing with ADHD is that we get really bored. We need to do something and get immediate feedback and continue that. If we're not constantly doing something, we get really bored and depressed.
And frustrated.
And frustrated. And he didn't get that. And the first year, I felt like I just hated him. I knew that I love him, but I was like, this is not going to work. So.
Yeah. Because you're almost on two different wavelengths.
It was.
Right.
And until he started doing research for ADHD.
There we go.
And then he started to change, and he started to treat me differently. Back then, he used to baby me.
Yeah.
And be like, okay, I'm going to wash her dishes for her. I'm going to do her laundry. I'm going to do this for her. I'm going to do this. Right. And I wasn't learning to take care of myself. I was depending more and more on him, even though that's not what he wanted or I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And after he started learning about ADHD, he kind of now doesn't baby me, but also helps me in my journey that I need.
Right, he accommodates you.
He does, in a great way. He has done a lot of research about it, and he's the one that first started kind of treating me in a different way that I never knew.
Yeah.
If I say something that doesn't make sense to him, he'll reword it back to me and be like, is this what you're trying to say?
Right.
Or are you trying to attack me? And I'll be like, I'm not trying to attack you. I'm thinking about something, but I can't explain it to you.
Yeah.
And then we'll take time off for a day, and then he'll try to go through my ideas and what I'm trying to explain to him.
And sort them out.
Yeah, it's...
And put them together.
Yeah, and I mean, just by him, the way that he has treated me, I feel like it's been a huge game changer.
Wow.
Because it's the support I've always needed.
Mm-hmm.
I never had that teacher that was like, okay, I'm not going to work on you because you're a bad student. I'm going to work on you because you have ADHD and you need help.
Yeah.
And I feel that each teacher tried the best that they could, but they were teaching me for someone that had a neurotypical brain.
Right. They didn't have the training, the experience. Yeah.
They didn't have that focus for me either. I mean, when you're elementary, you're competing with 24 children for that attention.
Right.
And my ADHD was silent. I was just a quiet kid in the classroom that wasn't paying attention, but looked like it was paying attention. So no one really worried about me. I've always studied hours since I was like a little kid, trying to understand what in the world is going on. My grades don't show for it. And that was frustrating for me, not understanding like what was going on. I am the student that would read all the time. I would spend hours. I'm not lazy. Yeah. Like a lot of people would. My teachers thought I was lazy because I wouldn't do my homework. But what they didn't know is like my homework was done at home under my bed. I had forgot about it. And it's things like that.
Right.
So leading back to early childhood education, sorry. I think that's why I want to be that teacher that not just with ADHD, but any condition that they might have. I have already had that experience of being misunderstood so many times. I was acting out, and it's not because my teachers gave me what they thought I needed.
Right, what they thought everyone needed.
Yeah.
Right.
Because no one really knew I had ADHD until I was 16.
Yeah.
So that was so many years passed by that I didn't get treatment for
it. Wow.
Because, I mean, you can take medicine or therapy. And I didn't do any of those. All I knew was that I was different.
Yeah.
And
nobody could seem to explain to you why.
Nobody could. And
wow.
I mean, my mom, she for sure knew I was different, comparing me to my siblings. We were talking about the other day, and she's like, I always knew that you had something. Because, first of all, for you to wake up in the mornings, I had to drag you, put on your clothes, and send you to school. And you would wake up on the bus. She's like, none of your other siblings had trouble going to sleep. And she told me, like, I made such harsh rules for you about sleep because you just could not sleep at night ever since you were a baby. Like, you had such a hard time sleeping and you would always wake up late. And that actually has to do with ADHD. Like, our sense of time is disordered.
Interesting.
So my concept of time is a little bit warped than everyone else's. And I'm working on that right now. But it's like timers, which is crazy that a timer could help me so much.
Wow. And these are things we just take for granted.
Exactly.
Wow.
And it's just been a journey. And working with kids, I can now identify, okay, this might not be normal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to look into it more. And then we tell the parents, like, hey, I've noticed your kid has a hard time, whatever it may be. And then we give them kind of like the list of, like, where to start, what specialists to talk to, what we can do for them, what we provide in our program for. I mean, as a teacher in early child education, I have complete freedom to change my whole classroom if I want to, just
right.
for that one kid.
You really have the resources to be flexible and give each kid the best possible chance
yes.
at succeeding.
And I think that that's going to make a difference for children. I mean, I've already seen it happening.
Wow.
I had one kid that had such a hard time misbehaving, and I mean, they were close to kicking him out.
Yeah.
But I started writing down, like, when he was misbehaving and how people were treating him around him, how he reacted to things.
Right. And what was triggering him.
Yeah. And I figured mm-hmm. it out what it was. And so all I had to do for that kid was every time he was starting to get frustrated because his language wasn't that well developed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what was frustrating for him. He wanted to say things, but he couldn't.
Right. He couldn't communicate.
And mm-hmm. I mean, in working with toddlers, you don't have time to spend individual time with
right.
one kid. It's always chaotic. But I made the effort to, whenever I saw him start acting out, I would drop whatever I'm doing
uh-huh.
and go to him and be like, okay, hey, how are you? Like, what's going on? Oh, do you want to tell me, like, what you're doing? And then
yeah.
he would get so excited because that's all he needed. He needed just someone to sit down and try to understand him.
Yeah.
And that made the world of difference.
Wow.
And
just to be listened to can be such
be
a powerful
to.
Thing.
I mean, kids really need to be listened to.
Yeah.
And I go to the store and I see moms not listening to their kids, and kids are like, mom, 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 mom. And I'm just like, just 1 minute of your time.
Yeah.
That's all she needed. That's all your kid needed. Like, if you could just listen to them.
Yeah, just be present for them. Mm-hmm. Be conscious, be aware of them.
That makes a world of a difference. And
yeah.
I mean, my parents were like that. They, I've been blessed with such great parents.
Yeah.
I mean, they would take time out of their day and then just play with me.
Wow.
And then just try to understand me the best that they could.
Right.
So I have to be thankful for that too.
So even though they didn't quite know you had ADHD, they did try to accommodate you in the best way that they could
yeah.
from their place.
Which I'm really thankful for.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to be a teacher and start that journey of helping other kids. And I mean, they forget about us. You don't really remember who was your
teacher when you were 2 years.
No, you
yeah.
don't. But I mean, it makes a world of a difference.
Wow. I mean, it sounds like phenomenal work you're doing. Like, I'm so proud of you. You know, and this is the great thing about having these experiences and being able to transform them into something positive, you know, like trying to help a kid and prevent them from going through what you've been through, making their journey just a little bit easier. So I think you're doing some really good work. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited for that too. I'm excited to not only bring awareness to ADHD. I mean, I'm going to try to do that more, and also just bring awareness to early child education, how important it is. I feel like parents sometimes, they try to support us, but then there's other parents that just see it as a daycare, and then we teach kids how to go through the stages of writing and using their hands and getting that moral, motor skill.
Right.
And I feel like those tiny little details that you don't understand the process of, you don't value them.
Right.
I mean, as an early childhood education teacher, what I want parents to know is if we send you millions of little pieces of paper that are cut, have no writing on them, these simple lines, these squiggly lines, these papers that have no meaning, to your child it has a lot of meaning because they went through a process of stages that they're learning and trying really hard every day, working
yeah.
with us to get there.
Right.
When your kid learns how to draw a stick figure or a face or anything like that, that's part of their process, their development of getting to be, you know, just the best that they can.
Yeah.
To whatever they want to lead to. And I really hope that parents can appreciate that more. I mean, I look at the kids and then them just cutting a simple piece of tape off
yeah.
is a whole process for them
wow.
to get to learn. And sometimes they go through tape a lot because it's something that we need to let them try and learn. And
yeah.
using their hands is different than just like feeding yourself and
right.
just every little thing.
Interesting. It's very complex.
Yeah.
It's very complex, and you have to really pay attention to all the different parts.
Yes, yeah. It's insane.
Yeah, wow, that's really fascinating. I learned a lot from this. Thank you so much. Wow, yeah.
I hope it made sense.
Definitely. And I think this is just very educational for the community. And as you said, you know, you want parents to kind of be a little bit more conscious to these situations. And I think they will after this interview. Yeah, yeah. So thank you so much, Sandra, for being with me in the studio today. I would love to have you back on again in the future. I know I will. And then we can get more into some good topics and try and, you know, make this world a bit of a better place.
I would love to. Yes. I would love to come back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All past episodes of this program, spanning the 2018-2019 academic school year, are available to access at any time at kisu.org. Click on Programs and ASISU Speaks. Join Christoff every Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. here on KISU during the academic school year.